Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Reading verse 26, the responding verses, if you would read them out loud, that'd be great. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. Now a herd of many swine were feeding there in the mountains, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. They also had seen it. Seen who had been seen told them by what means he had been demon possessed was healed. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, verse 39 together, "Return to your own house. Tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Come on, give the Lord a big hand for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, today is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it because, Lord, the harassment of demonic presence that has been upon the lives of people must go today. Lord, you gave us kind of a sampling of what things you were about to do. But Lord, that was just the beginning of us realizing that we have power and authority over the demonic forces that would hold people hostage and hold them captive. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we proclaim today that our house belongs to you, this temple belongs to you, everything about us belongs to you. And Lord, any hindrances must be cast out. We pray that through the preaching of your word, freedom would come. Lord, we thank you for all these things. We give all praise and glory to you. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and shout out, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, actually, preparing for this message, it hasn't so much been difficult as it's been the fact of really believing that God's going to do something amazing today. Many people are lost in the wonderment or confusion, trying to confront the evil and demonic forces that can cause the heart and soul of mankind to commit crime, the crime of mass murders with guns. You saw it. You read about it. You say, how can these things happen? Well, let me take you a little bit further into that. The toll of opioid killings by massive distribution of illegal drugs often buried in the back of our minds unless we are personally affected. In other words, it's happening all over the world. I'm here to tell you that this is not a war on demons. This is letting you know what's going on, but we have the power and authority to deal with it. Well, what about this? In either situation, the devil is the instigator of these situations, having gained access to the spirits and souls of men through the power of demonic influence. Now, you don't want to talk about demons. I'm going to talk about them. Because they're alive and ruling people's lives. Here's my three questions today. First of all, have you come to grips with the reality that the devil can and will take control over your body and soul if you allow him to? I don't have no demons in me. We'll find out. How about this one? Does the very thought of freedom from control and addiction of demonic forces seem possible to you? Some of you got this little report. I've always been this way. Everyone in my family's like this. We're all kind of mean or particular. Folks, you don't realize that oftentimes you subscribe to things that have happened that have been generationally passed on to you, but today it's over. Amen. How about this? Can you embrace the reality that you can live a holy life free to worship Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Every day can be a good day. And so a lot of things we sung about today, hopefully that will become your reality. We're going to move right into the message. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil in your life. John 10:10. Here we go. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. But what does Jesus say? I have come that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. If you are not enjoying the abundance of the life of Jesus, you're living beneath your privilege. You're living beneath what Jesus has designed for you to have happen in your life. So what about this? The medical community, Jesus desires for you to live a life of freedom and abundance, but the medical community freely uses the term demons to describe the lives of people that are out of control. They've got demons. But they say it kind of flippantly. But here's what they mean. Now, I'm going to be very careful about this. I don't want to offend some people, but I'm going to tell you something. Mental illness is not new. It's been here since the beginning of the fall in the garden. Amen. It wasn't here before then, but after that particular point, access was given to the minds and the hearts of individuals. But we're not held hostage to that. So anyway, the idea behind the whole mental illness thing, there are more people hospitalized with various types of mental illness than any other ailment. And if you don't believe me, Google it. It's true. Well, what about this aspect of it? This is, we deal with terms like paranoia, manic depression, schizophrenia, that have the same key element of being alike. They are hard to solve or cure. Somebody's in control. But you know what? Jesus has got control over that. And the healing power of Jesus is available today. Well, Jesus confronted a man that had demons who lived in isolation for a long time. I love it when the Bible does this stuff like this because it addresses hard stuff. This man had been that way probably pretty much all of his life. It doesn't say that, but the Bible says he'd been that way for a long time to the degree that people kind of stayed away from him. And he got to a point now where he no longer needed clothes. He ran around naked. Notice I didn't say naked, I said naked. That's where I came from, naked. You figure it out whatever way you want to do it. It's okay. But the devil will convince us that this is a normal state of being and things will never change. So he lived out there kind of in isolation. And everybody probably knew him as the naked man, crazy man that lives out there in no man's land. But you know something? You got a reputation with other folks. You may not know it. They won't tell you. But they've labeled you as well. The lifestyle you now live can become your identity unless you are confronted by Jesus to show you a better way. And so somehow he comes in contact with Jesus, and slavery to your addiction or affliction can cause you to believe that there is no hope of living another way. Compassion overwhelms me at many times, but it's really a paralytic expression when you can't do anything about it. when you can't help that particular person. You want to help them, but you can't. Well, I want to let you know today that Jesus is available to do the impossible. And so what happens is that we can easily confuse the freedom that Jesus offers us with torment. Because here's the man's response. When Jesus comes along, he says, Jesus, don't torment me. And for some of you, freedom is torment. Because you don't know how to live. You don't have to live without those voices or the defeated attitude or the things that have been with you all your life. Some of you would feel uncomfortable. If people treated you nicely all the time, you get uncomfortable. But I want to let you know your experience of life can take a drastic change today by the time this message is over. The cleansing of the temple may cause us to fear because it comes with responsibility. Because as long as you're in your state of whatever you want to call it, nobody really expects anything from you. They expect you to always act crazy. All be just a little bit off. But you know, Jesus is here to change your reputation. To change the handle that folks have put on you. Well, we will feel alienated from Jesus because here's what his response is. Jesus comes along. Remember, he's the answer. He says, what do I have to do with you, Jesus? What are you doing here? Here's a question. Are you afraid of freedom? Are you afraid of being able to operate without an excuse? Are you afraid of being normal? Whatever normal you might consider. The love that Jesus offers us will seem like torment to those who've been possessed by the devil. Now watch this. Cleansing of our temple will require changing the environment that we are familiar with. I want to tell you something about your real friends. Your real friend will ask you hard questions. So don't say that to her, it'll get her upset. No, your real friend will ask you a question, do you want to get well? This is what Jesus does. He comes to a blind man one particular time, and everybody knows he's blind. He says, do you want to get well? He's like, that's kind of a stupid question. No, because some people are okay with the handle they've been given because they'll have an excuse to continue to be like they are. I got a question for you. Do you want to get well? Are you okay with how you are right now? Well, you can just kind of tweak it a little bit. But some of you like being just a little bit strange. You call it unique. Yeah. Okay. Those who truly love us will seek us out when we're in our dark places. I'm sure that this man was avoided. Matter of fact, they said, don't go over there. The demon man lives over there. Stay away from him. I'm going to get even more personal than that. Some of you who live in isolation already know there's something different about you. And people don't come around. But you can get hardened in this particular identity because the enemy will convince you that's really, truly who you are. What about this? Jesus truly loves us and wants us to experience joy and freedom. Do you believe that? Well, what about this? The demoniac's name for himself revealed who he believed he was. Because Jesus asked him, what's your name? And his response was legion. Now, I'll give you a little idea what a legion means. A legion back in those days was basically around 6,000 soldiers. So he's saying, my name's Legion. I got so many demons, I can't count them. So I just call myself Legion. What you call yourself, what your identity happens to be, is based upon your experience of saying, you know, I can't even find myself in the midst of this. Everyone else has been calling me Legion. I guess that's my name, Legion. Some of you are living under a false identity that people have given you because of their perception of who they think you are. And you've taken on that persona because, oh, man, he's Legion. He's got all kinds. And pretty soon it's stuck. He says, my name's Legion. God's about to change your name to your real identity in just a moment of who he sees you as. He doesn't see you as other people see. He sees you as a child of God. He sees you as an overcomer. He sees you as beloved by God and God alone. God's about to change that whole atmosphere. You say, what is that all about? So many things had overtaken him that he felt out of control. He says, I don't even know who I am. Now you kind of wonder, how did he survive? Some of you are surviving as a result of people's pity on you. And so they probably come to the edge of where this man was, kind of turned their head, didn't want to look at his nakedness, and kind of throw something to him to make sure he survived, and went on their way. You're living in isolation now, but God's about to bring you into a whole community of people. Well, in biblical times, the degree of mental illness was equated with the number of demons living in a person's life. You don't believe me? Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Here we go. Now, when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven demons. Oh, that's in the Bible. Oh, this wasn't a new thing. But here's the thing I love about it. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, a woman where he cast out seven demons. See, it doesn't matter what your former identity was. Jesus can change your identity. Maybe she was, she used to be demonic. But Jesus came on the scene and appeared to her because she'd been cleansed and Jesus wanted to see about her. Your former identity won't keep Jesus from stopping by to see you. Once he gets you cleaned up, he gives you a whole thing. He says, as a matter of fact, let me go see Mary, see how she's doing. See, he won't ostracize you because of who you were. He'll treat you about who you are right now. Some of you don't want, so Jesus would never come by my house. Once that place is cleansed, Jesus will fellowship with you all the time. Oh, I feel good. Somebody's going to get changed today. Oh, yes, they are. Well, Jesus desires you to discover your real identity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is great. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a? All things have. Behold. Take that word all. All things have become new. I like the way they'll say to you, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. There's been a great change in my life. So things I used to want to do, I don't want to do them anymore. Because Jesus came along and changed the way I think. Let me show you how this works. The lives that we live are often in conflict between the things we say and the things we do. Let me take you a little bit of history. History will help you. And just talk about just modern day history, or history several hundred years ago, but what about this? Thomas Jefferson wrote the words, all men are created equal. But he kept slaves till the day he died. You can say one thing and do something totally different. All men are created, but he had slaves till the day. I'm not here trying to vilify him. I'm just telling you, we can say one thing and do another. And that's what some of you all sitting right here today, you're saying, I love Jesus, but somehow it's not measuring up with the things you do. Benjamin Franklin was an amazingly talented, gifted individual. And the thing about it was he was a genius, an inventor, an architect. But you know, he was about the meanest person to his family. He was mean. He was petty. See, who you are in public life doesn't count. It's who you are when you're by yourself. See, we think you all, on Sunday morning, you look pretty good. Can I swing by later on? Around about 9 o'clock. Yes, Jesus. Can I watch TV with you? Don't nothing good happen after 10 o'clock. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's a personal preference. I'm going to leave it alone, okay? Paul, the apostle Paul, the one who wrote over half the New Testament, says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to Jesus Christ, who's the one who can do it. You say, well, wait a minute. Did Paul have demons? Are you saying he was demon-possessed? I'm saying that demons can have influence the way you think and how you respond. You don't have to be possessed by demons. All you have to do is just take their suggestions. That's good enough. But when you constantly take their suggestions, oh, we got a problem. Well, when Jesus asks us our name, we must be transparent enough to share the truth of what we know about ourselves. What does that mean? We can be ourselves without guilt and shame of our past and present condition. Let me stop right here. Someone would ask you, who are you? Say, well, the first thing we will reach for is the thing in our life that we identify with the most. If it's your family, you'll say, I'm a husband and a father. If it's our job, I'm the head of a CEO or this particular thing. But that becomes our identity. But when we really come to know Jesus like we should, the very first response should be, I am a child of the Most High God. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have no identity other than the fact that when I was in the utmost of my sins, Jesus saved me, cleansed me, and redeemed me. Said, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Really? Then if your identity is anything other than Christ, that could be a problem. Jesus will not ask us, this is what I love about this situation. Jesus meets this demoniac. Do you know, finding a scripture where he said, before we're going to proceed any further, you go find you some clothes. Get some clothes on right now. This conversation is going no further till you put on some clothes. Man's naked as a jaybird. And Jesus asked him his name. I want to help you with this. Your shame does not affect Jesus' action to help you. He can look beyond your shame and put you in a whole different identity. He can see past all the horrible things that have brought you to the place where you're dealing with. Well, what about this? We can confess what we believe about ourselves, even if it is wrong. Because he says to Jesus, he says, my name is Legion. That wasn't his name. That's an identity he took on. Now, some of you are still struggling with some of the names you were called when you were a kid. Oh, yeah, well, really, I'm kind of stupid. Or I'm just kind of irresponsible. And you take on these particular personas. But Jesus sees you totally different. Yes, he does. I got to get to a place that's going to help some people right now. Jesus is not put off by the demons that have held us captive being present during the conversation. Now watch this. Anything that you have done that you are ashamed of is okay for you to share with Jesus. I want you to stop right now. Everybody stop right now. Just hold, put the brakes on. And I want you to reach back into your shame closet and find that thing that says, you know, oh, people knew that. I don't know why, I'd just be mortified. I could never come back to New Song again. You know why? Because you're living underneath the shame. But you know, when Jesus comes in, it doesn't matter if people find out. Jesus has washed you, cleansed you, sanctified you from all of those things. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those things are gone forever, and God doesn't hold them against you. Why are you holding them against yourself? But in your shame closet are those things. If people found this out, I'd be done. I could never come back to New Song again. Honey, we are not heaven. Not even by a long shot. But the darkest part of your heart will not cause Jesus to walk away from you. What about this? Our confession of who we thought ourselves to be will give Jesus permission to remove the demons that have held us in that prison. When Jesus heard the word legion, if you look at the text here, you don't find this great ranting and raving, this type of thing. You hear him saying this particular thing, and next thing you see the fellow is sitting down at Jesus' feet talking to him. Well, there was no question of whether the demons are going to be cast out of the man. Now, look at me right now. The reason why I want you to look at me is the fact that I'm going to look into your spirit right now and say, well, you say, well, what makes you think that Jesus can deal with my situation? I've had it all my life. This man had been this way for a long time. God doesn't look at it like you do. But I want to tell you, this is the day that Jesus wants to put this behind you, that you can have a day of freedom that you haven't known before. Let me show you how that works. There's no power struggle. Matter of fact, there's negotiations. Demon says, and I'm not going to preach this portion here because some of you will be really frustrated with the idea that he cast these demons out and all that bacon went down the hill. Oh, that pork roast. I can't help you with that. But some of you can't get over that. We could have had a barbecue. You know. Shut up. All he wants to let you know is that it was real. And not imaginary. Well, demons have already acknowledged that Jesus was present. And they said, well, we're kind of uncomfortable with that. The demons knew they were dealing with the Most High God, and they couldn't take over the situation. I got to take you this last piece, and we're almost done. We will discover the purpose of our cleansed temple at the feet of Jesus. What does that mean? Luke 8:36. They also who had seen it told them by what means he had been demon possessed was healed. You know, the piece that was important is that after this happens, he is able to give his testimony of what had happened, because, you know, excuse me, I want to skip back up, go back to verse 35. I'm sorry, we got the wrong one there. It says, then he went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Huh? I thought this guy was wild and crazy before and nobody wanted to be with him, and now they see him totally tame sitting at the feet of Jesus and they're afraid of him now? I'll tell you, when Jesus delivers you, you're scary. You know why? Because they thought it could never happen. And all of a sudden, you're talking straight and you're talking rational and this stuff. What happened to him? Because your identity has been changed. Then all of a sudden, when you're in your right mind, all of a sudden you can see things you didn't see before. Amen. You will hear things you didn't hear before. You have a righteousness of God that you can kind of address it, because I've been where you're at and I know what's going on. Don't get somebody delivered that's been in the same predicament. You've been in the same, and all of a sudden you get free. Oh, you are scary. Come on. Just be around one of your alcoholic friends, get delivered from alcohol, and all of a sudden they don't want to hang with you. You know why? Because you're in a place where they need to be. You're in a place where they want to be. So all of a sudden they want to, they don't want you in their crowd anymore because they're comfortable being where they are. But I want to tell you, you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness when you allow the deliverance of Jesus to come into your life. You're a scary person. Thank God for the power of God to do great things like this. Fear will often be the response of people who witness a transformation in our life by the power of Jesus. People are often more comfortable relating to our former demonic person. I dare you to get really saved. Because see, people like you talking strange and weird and telling all these little nasty jokes and that type of thing. And all of a sudden you clean up your eyes and say, well, what's wrong with you? I found Jesus. They will stay away from you. They will leave you alone. So, oh no, we can't hang together anymore. You know why? Because the light in you exposes the darkness in them. Amen. Incredible. Phenomenal. But what about this? So the idea about it is it is often difficult to adjust our thinking about people who have been steeped in their demonic influence for a long time. How do we think about you? Well, how about this? When we have been set free from the devil, we will bear the signs of miraculous deliverance. That means we will desire to be in the presence of Jesus. Remember, before this happens, he says, oh, Jesus, get out of here. Depart from me. I don't need you around. But once you're delivered, the best place for you to be is in the presence of the Lord. Yes. The Bible says he's sitting in the presence of Jesus. You know why? Because the shame's gone. The shame's gone. Wow. A couple more little things and we're just about done because God wants to do a work here. We will not be concerned about what people think or believe about our deliverance. Well, sitting at the feet of Jesus is a symbol of being under new authority and direction for our life. Three things happen to him. This is the first thing that happens. We will be willing to act with responsibility and accountability. I got something for you, Mavericks, Lone Rangers. You need to talk to Tonto. You hear what I'm saying? Team Osabi. God wants you to be subject to him. And it means this. We take on accountability. We will welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit as being the final authority over our lives and our decisions. You can't think like you used to think. There's a filter that's available to you through the Holy Spirit that takes all of those thoughts and comes and processes them through the blood of Jesus. Well, what about this? We will be willing to submit to Jesus' authority and his commands. Now, there's something I need to tell you right here. I was at a conference the other day, and the gentleman spoke of something. It was great, you know, teaching. But one thing that he said that really helped me was the fact of, here's what we do. I've done it, so I'll be the first one to admit. When we're going to pray in a few minutes, people say, well, I just need to rededicate myself to the Lord. What did you do the first time that you need to redo? There's no such thing as rededication. There's a fact of admitting the first time there's some things I left out. It's getting crazy in here right now. Because I gave Jesus all of my heart except for this part over here. Then I realized that this part is trouble. I need to give him all. It's all or nothing at all. If any man be in Christ, what happens? He's a new creature. Old things and what do you know about all? Does that mean everything? Or except for? All things become new. Now let me help you with this. For those, because when I came to Jesus many years ago, you know, I learned some things about me that you're going to be finding out about me. That when I say all, I find discovery that, ooh, that too? And we're reluctant. But when we come to Jesus, it's not like, I need to rededicate. No, I need to adjust my thinking toward what all means. See, so it was up to you. Now, I know some of you in here that got saved, I don't know how many times. Everyone, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. It fell apart every time. No, you got a discovery on all. The Holy Spirit made you aware of the fact that your all did not mean everything. But when the Holy Spirit reveals to you that particular place, it's not like you have to go back to go. It's like, oh, let me show you what the scripture says about this. In Psalm 37, 24. I love this scripture. I didn't get it up there for these folks. But, in, you know, Sheila's up there. She'll find it in case you believe I made this up. But 37 verse 4 says this. Okay. Oh, excuse me, 37 verse 24, I'm sorry. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, verse 23 and 24, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Now watch this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds his hands. Now what he says, though he fall. Not if he fall. You're going to hit some things in the road that you may fall. But you know something? You're not going to be hurled headlong because God has still got a hold of your hand. You may have made a bad decision. You may have gone a bad direction. But God said, I'll never let go of you. He said, I won't let you go. I'm going to pick you up out of the mire, out of the muck, out of the confusion, out of the doubt, out of all the things you've gone through. I'm not going to let go of you. See, if you really made a connection with Jesus, He doesn't say, well, see, and no, he's going to take hold of you. Some of you need to realize that God's still got a hold of you. I'm feeling something right now. Glory to God. This last little piece right here. The Bible says when he'd gone through this experience, he was clothed, is another mark of wellness. Remember, this guy was naked and naked, anyway. Sorry, I almost said the wrong word, naked. You folks will be confused now. He was no longer shameless and recognized moral values and absolutes. Put your clothes on. Realize that God has standards for you to live by. You don't live like the world. What else does that mean? It means the fact that he was under Jesus' lordship. He cleaved to a sense of what was decent and proper. Decency has kind of been cast to the wind, but not for you. Because you belong to Jesus, you're living under a new identity. The next thing he found out is he was in his right mind, and he saw the world for what it truly was. He could see the world for what it truly is. The paranoia and fear of people was gone. I know you wouldn't wonder, what is he wearing today? I'm going to show you what I'm wearing today. You know what this says? Fearless. You say, does that mean you're going skydiving? I said, I ain't crazy. But fearless means that there's no condemnation. I'm not afraid any longer over the sins of my past, over the errors of my future, because Jesus is walking with me. And if I happen to fall down, he's going to pick me up. I'm fearless because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Well, what does that mean? It means this, that the whole idea behind this is that people who walk in that particular thing is that the Lord is able to sustain you. Fear of other people was gone. He's ready to be discipled by Jesus. Jesus was asked to leave after the man was delivered because of fear. Fearless. Luke 8:37. This amazed me. And when the whole multitude surrounding the region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Listen to me carefully. This is probably the most sobering part of this message. I hope you get it. The Bible says when the people were gripped by fear, Jesus left. What? Fear, when you cleave onto it instead of cleave onto Jesus, there's nothing God can do for you. What? Jesus got into the boat and left. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. You're going to get your mind back today. The very thing you've been afraid of is what Jesus wants to do in your life to bring you into wholeness. I'm just about there, because the spirit of fear overtook the people, and they asked Jesus to leave. They knew that Jesus had healed him. Wait a minute. You've seen witness people in this congregation that have been healed, and he can't heal you from your situation? Has the devil convinced you that you are too far gone? I want to tell you that's a lie from the enemy. Worship team, make your way up here because I'm about to finish this thing real quickly. Well, watch this. They preferred having the demons rather than the deliverance. Now, what are you saying? Some of you have been comfortable with the demonic influences, and you've asked Jesus to go. Here are my statements I need to make to you. They're going to be up on the board. I hope you don't forget them. Number one, overcome the fear of the devil. Number two, reveal your assumed name from the devil. Some of you still say, well, they always call me stupid. They always call me this, call me that. God's got a new name for you. You're beloved. You're a child of God. All those old handles people used to know you by, they don't even count. Number three, allow Jesus to cast out the demons. And number four, tell the world that freedom is available for all who desire it. Here's a piece I want you to do, is allow Jesus to cast out the demons. Some of you say, I'm not demon possessed. I didn't say, call it harassed, call demon afflict. I don't care what you call it, but you're messed up. Because when you are allowing something else, some other presence to give you a new name or different identity, that's a demonic force that's causing you to be someone who you really aren't. Every head bowed, every eye closed right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that people in this place will get a different perspective of who they are rather than their greatest struggle in life. Lord, there are habits, addictions. Some of them are physical addictions. Lord, last week there were a number of people that wanted to be delivered from tobacco, some from alcohol. Some didn't even mention, but I know from sexual addictions. Lord, today, help them to know it's not up to them. But once they are confronted by your presence, you cast the desire out of the enemy and they fill them with your presence. I want you to tell Jesus right now, before you even respond the other way, Lord, I want to be free. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of being subscribing to the things of the enemy. If it were up to me, I'd be with this addiction. I'd be with this particular encumbrance the rest of my days. But Lord, I want to be free. As you said that to the Lord, I believe Jesus answered you and says, today is the day of your freedom. It's not a struggle that Jesus has. It's just the fact of the reality of knowing that he's able to cause all those things that cause you problems and give you a different identity of what Jesus has given you. I want you to receive right now. And what you're going to do is you're going to receive it there. You're going to confirm it up here. This altar is not the magic place. It's when you make up your mind that that's who Jesus is going to be in my life. And today, I'm going to ask you, when you respond today, you're coming here to reaffirm what you already made a decision right where you are. In the name of Jesus, be free. In the name of Jesus, I cast out the devil and the false names and identity that he's given to you. And when you stand today and when you just come forward just to affirm what God's already done, it's over. No struggle, no fighting. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be free.
First thing I want you to do is just begin to lift your hands and thank God for your freedoms. Lift your hands right now. Thank God for your freedom right now. Lift your hands, stand. Thank God for your freedom right now. Now, if you're ready to really affirm that freedom, I want you to stand to your feet, everybody. And those of you who are affirming your freedom, I want you to come to this altar today and say, it's mine today. Come right now. Come right now in Jesus' name. 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 Come on, just applaud the Lord because they're coming.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.